and taught me the scriptures and taught me the Christmas story and taught me to quote Luke chapter 2. Actually, it was a school teacher, a junior high school teacher, who taught me to quote Luke chapter 2. And so I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful. Sam was my Sunday school teacher for many years, and Patsy and some of them taught us when we were just kids. And so I'm thankful for everybody who poured into my life and who challenged me and taught me scriptures and taught me to pray and was there when I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And all of those things, those are a vital part of who we are. And I believe that God weaves a tapestry of our life with many different threads, many different colors, many different experiences, many different revelations, many different people that come and go in our life. Not everybody that comes into your life is meant to stay in your life. Some are meant to pass through, but some are meant to be there for an eternity. And so I'm thankful for those who have been since the get-go, since the beginning. You know, I'm thankful for Christian heritage. I'm thankful for a home that honored God, and for the history that God has written in our life, and it's not over yet. Amen. God is still writing on the pages of our heart. He's still writing our story. He's still writing our history. And some of our stories might be a comedy. Some of it might be a drama. Some of it might be, some might have had a little bit of all of that in it. I think that life is mixed with a little bit of drama, a little bit of comedy, a little bit of, you know, whatever. Hopefully not too much horror in it, but, you know, but our experiences, can you say that your experiences, good or bad, have made you who you are? They've taught you some things. Sometimes the negative things in my life have taught me more than even the positive things in my life. And so I think if we set our heart to be a continued student, a lifelong learner, and say, Lord, what can I learn from this? What can you teach me even in the midst of this, where I am right now, whether it be crisis or adversity, whether it be good or bad, rich or poor, young or old, sickness and health, God is a faithful God and he's ever present in our life. Can anybody say amen to that this morning? And so I love the gathering. I love the assembly of the body. I love the assembling of the saints. I believe we're more powerful together. I believe we're a many-membered body, and I believe that God has joined us together, bone to bone, sinew to sinew, and joined us together to function in the assignment that he has given Word of Deliverance Church. One of the things I think sometimes we in our life, we compare ourselves, we contrast ourselves with maybe other people, other giftings, other talents, other callings, and we get frustrated thinking, why am I not doing that, or why don't I do that? And I think sometimes the best thing we can learn and the best thing we can come to understand is to stay in your assignment. Stay with what God has assigned you to and be faithful in that. And if you'll be faithful where God has placed you and what he has assigned you and what he's put in your life, I believe he'll bring increase even above and beyond where you are right here, right now. And so, my prayer is, Lord, help us to be faithful to the assignment that you've given us in this season, at this time in our life, or where we are right here. And right now, so for the last few weeks, this is week number 3, we've been doing a series out of Isaiah chapter 9, 6 through 7, and I just quoted it to you. We started out with wonderful, then we went to counselor, and today I want to talk to you about mighty God. How many of you believe in this house that he is a mighty God? Yes. That he is a mighty God. And so we've talked about the power of testimony. We've talked about the power of our words, the power of our salutation. That declaring, I believe it's important, even when we give praise reports and declare what God has done amongst us, that they are faith builders, they're reminders of the faithfulness of God. And did you ever pray over something in your life and then later on discover that God answered that prayer and you kind of went out of your mind and you kind of forgot about it, but yet you look back and think, well, Lord, you answered that prayer for me. You brought that to pass. You answered that. You accomplished that for me. My Bible has little sidelines, side notes. It has dates and it has prophecies and it has words that, you know, that I've prayed and said, God, I'm asking you for this on November of 93 or whatever it was. And this is what I'm asking for. You know, the scripture for with God, nothing shall be impossible. And I wrote what I was praying for and believing for. And now I can go back at that scripture and say, God, you accomplished that way a long time ago. To me, it was a big thing, but to you, it was nothing. And you brought that to pass, and it's a reminder of the faithfulness of God. You know, I think we do well to sit around and listen to some stories to people who've got some history behind them that can tell us some stories of the faithfulness of God and the testimonies and the witness and the power of his might. He is a mighty God. I want to talk about mighty God today. Zephaniah 3:17. It says, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love, he will joy over thee with singing. He wants to sing over you this morning. He wants to sing you a love song. He wants to sing a song of victory over you this morning. He will joy over thee or rejoice over thee with singing. But the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Now, we sang that song for many years. And, you know, in this situation in Zephaniah and in the captivity of Israel, he was talking about the Lord thy God that was in the midst of the camp. How many know in the Old Testament, God was in the midst of the camp? And he would come among them, and he would come in different demonstrations, and he would be amongst them in the camp. But aren't you thankful that today, when we say that scripture, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee, like I believe God was among us, and he is among us today in our midst in this house. Do you believe that? Do you feel that? Do you know that? I feel the presence of the Holy Ghost. I feel the presence of God in the house this morning. But not only is he in the midst of us, not only is he amongst us, not only is he moving and touching in this house, but he's the Lord thy God in the midst of me. He is right here in the midst of me. He lives and dwells and moves inside of me, and I in turn live and move and dwell in him. So we know that when God began to prophesy and say, his name shall be called Emmanuel, that means God with us. Not only is he an Emmanuel God amongst us, he's a God with us, and he's a God in us. See, I ask you this morning to pray in the Holy Ghost because I believe it stirs up faith and I believe it stirs up the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, because when we don't know what words to utter, when I don't know what to say, when I don't know the end from the beginning, see, I can begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. And when I pray in the Holy Ghost utters words that I don't even know or understand, but it makes intercession for me. It's powerful. It makes connection. How many are thankful this morning you got some connection? That when you pray, he hears you. You can be confident in the fact that when I pray, he hears me. And the Lord thy God is mighty in the midst. But he's in the midst of me. Hallelujah. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. How many feel mighty in the house this morning? Come on, a couple of you do, but how many know you are a force to be reckoned with? You are a force to be reckoned with. You are powerful. You are anointed. You are purposed, and you're appointed. And we forget that sometimes. And I was praying the other day, and the Lord brought some things to my mind, and I said, you know what, Lord, I'm just going to stand up and say, not here, not today, and not on my watch. When the prophet of Elijah went out, and he was out, had gone out from Elisha, and when the scripture said when he looked up, he saw the host of the camp of the Syrian army encompassed round about them, and his response was that, alas, my master, what shall we do? What are we going to do? We are encompassed about with the enemy. The Syrian army is all I see right now. And the prophet Elisha prayed and said, Lord, open his eyes that he might see. Lord, I want to see something bigger than the obstacle that's in front of me right here and right now. I want my eyes opened to a host of heaven that's encamped about the enemy that's way bigger, way more powerful than any obstacle I see in my path right here, right now. And in the Message Bible, believe it is, the prophet says, not on this day and not in my city. And he leads them out of that place and takes them to the king. And you know the rest of that story. I believe we can stand up and declare as men and women, as prophets of God, men and women of God, ministers of God, saints of God, that we stand up and say, not in my city and not on this day and not on my watch. Where we begin to take a footing and a stronghold and say, and be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Because the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. The scripture declares and says to us that he is mighty to save. Mighty to save souls. Mighty to save you in crisis. Mighty to save whatever it is that might need saved. When Joshua and them got ready to cross over, and when they was faced in the enemy, the scripture says he strengthened their hands. In other words, he encouraged them in the Lord. He encouraged them in the Lord. He strengthened their hands. To strengthen somebody's hands is to encourage them in the Lord, to speak life to them, to declare the word of the Lord over them. And the scripture says, he said to him, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? That's out of Jeremiah 32 and 27. Is there anything too hard for me? And the scripture in Joshua said, the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall what? Hold your peace. The Lord's going to go before you. The Lord's going to do your fighting. The Lord's going to minister. The Lord's going to speak, and you shall hold your peace. Now, one of the hardest things to do in a situation like that is to hold your peace or to just be silent. In a way that our voice doesn't confess crisis more than it confesses what the word says over us. Sometimes we're more guilty of quoting and saying things that are negative than we are at quoting the scripture and declaring the word of the Lord over it and trusting God to do it. Pastor Shirley shared in that scripture when we ministered on that one time, the Lord shall fight for you and you shall hold your peace. She said, we'll say it another way. The Lord shall fight for you. Hold on to your peace. Hold on to your peace. Don't give up your seat. Don't let your peace be shaken by what you see in the natural. By what you see in circumstances, don't be shaken. Hold on to your peace. Don't let go of your peace. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Isaiah 40, 28 through 31 says, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainted not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but, everybody say but. That word but means behold, unfailing truth. B-U-T, behold, unveiling truth. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They shall walk and not faint. They that wait upon the Lord, they that focus, they that meditate upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Ephesians 6 and 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I want to go to Luke chapter 1 this morning in verse 26. I'm going to jump ahead a little bit and not cover the whole portion of scripture today about Zechariah and Elizabeth, although that's one of my favorites. The whole, from Luke 1 all the way through Luke chapter 2, there's just a whole lot of things that's happening in that day and in Bethlehem. But in Luke 1, 26 through 58, and we talked about this a little bit on Wednesday night in our Bible study, man has nothing to do with God's promise in your life. If God's promised it, it's not man's responsibility, nor within man's power to make it happen. If God promised it, you wait on the promise of God. You believe for the promise of God in your life. Feel the fear and do it anyway. Do you ever have to do anything in fear? Had to do something in fear? Fear's a motivator, but it can also be, it can also take you prisoner. You can either allow it to propel you or you can allow it to wrap you up. But fear is a motivator. I mean, sometimes you got to feel the fear and do it anyway. You got to push through. You got to press through and do it anyway. It says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Remember that that's how the scripture goes in Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. "And of his kingdom, government, and peace there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. So the angel visits Mary, the young virgin, you know the story, and he comes to her and he says, Hail thou who art highly favored, the Lord is with you. And then he begins to unfold his plan, his purpose of what God wants to do in Mary's life. And you know you've heard this before in here, that sometimes favor doesn't look like favor. Sometimes it looks like totally the opposite of favor. When God starts to shift things, and it might be in job situations, or it might be, you know, in whatever crisis, and sometimes God starts to shift things, and you think, wait a minute, what happened to favor? I don't believe we walk in and out of favor. I believe we're the favored of the Lord. Do you believe that this morning? Favor doesn't come and go in our life. You live and walk in the favor of the Lord. And he begins to say powerful things to her, and her response to that is, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And isn't that our response most of the time when God starts to speak big things, big dreams, big actions in our life? We start saying, well, how can this be? Because there's all these reasons why it can't. And what we do is start to question the power of God, the purpose of God, because we look at man and think man's going to accomplish what needs to happen. How many know God does the supernatural with or without man? Now I believe he likes to use man as a part of his plan and a part of what he wants to do. But when God wants to move, the scripture says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. I need you to say that with me today. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And so he begins to speak the unknown to Mary. He begins to speak big things to Mary. Now we said this Wednesday night that they're not without point of reference, right? This is not something that just comes clean out of the blue and says, well, I've just decided that I'm going to have a virgin conceive and bear a son, and we're going to call his name Jesus. How many know the scriptures and Isaiah prophesied this for hundreds of years before it came to pass? So we're not without a point of reference. We're not without a promise. We're not without what the word declares. But how many know sometimes in waiting for the prophecy to come to pass, or waiting for the promise, we become weary and we begin to question God's purpose. We begin to question God's might. We begin to question God's strength. And so he begins to prophesy to Mary, and he begins to say to her what's going to come to pass. But he throws in a little nugget there, and he says, and your cousin Elizabeth, she's going to bear a son also, the one who has been called barren. Now, I love this because when you think about this, when Mary gets to the house of Elizabeth, the scripture says that at the sound of her salutation, how many in here believe there's power in your words? There's power in what you speak. There's power in connection. There's power in coming together with like faith. There's power in searching out somebody who's hearing from God too. I don't know where to go from here, but I know God's saying some big things. I know God's moving in our midst. I know God's doing something supernatural. I can't explain it. I don't understand it, but I got to connect with somebody who feels the same thing, feels a stirring, feels the word, feels something happening inside of them. And so she gets to the house of Elizabeth, and the scripture says when she came into the house of Zechariah, and at the sound of her salutation, see, the scripture tells us before that she's 6 months with child, the one who was called what? Barren. Everybody else might be calling it barren, but how many know Mary came to pronounce something different over Elizabeth? She began to speak a different kind of salutation. She come to declare a different kind of word. Where they called her barren, I'm going to call her blessed. They called her forsaken, I'm going to call her chosen. They called her left out, but I'm going to call her first string. They called her a whole lot of things, but I'm going to call her what God calls her. I'm going to call her blessed. I'm going to call her the mother of my Lord. And the scripture said when they came together and their salutation was so powerful that the word that they shared together was so powerful that the scripture says that Elizabeth's baby leaped in the womb. Not only did the baby leap in the womb, but Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. It's the first note we have of a Holy Ghost party in the New Testament. They had a Holy Ghost party because all of a sudden Elizabeth's filled with the Holy Ghost. The baby is leaping in her womb, and Mary and Elizabeth have a connection of something that's divine. Something's bigger than them. Something that's great that the mighty God has overshadowed them. This is nothing but a God thing. This is nothing but a God thing. See, I'm ready for God to do some of those things that we respond and say, this is nothing but a God thing. This is at the sound of a salutation of somebody saying that God wants to do something supernatural. God wants to bring healing. God wants to manifest himself. God, do your thing. Do a God thing in this. Hallelujah. Bring the manifestation of your glory and your might. And so the scripture says when they came together, there was a manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit. Our coming together means something. When the angel came to Joseph, he said, "Don't be afraid, Joseph, to take Mary to be your wife, for that thing which is done in her is done of the Holy Ghost." He said, "But you're going to name him, and you're going to call his name Jesus, and he shall be called Emmanuel," which means God with us. We're not going to call him Joseph Jr. We're going to call him what God calls him. We're not going to call her barren. We're going to call her fruitful. We're going to call her what God calls her. When Zechariah gives birth to John, they give him a writing tablet. Dan and I was discussing this a little bit yesterday. They gave him a writing tablet, and the scripture says, and they made signs to him as to what they would call him. I said, "Dan, does that strike you as funny?" And he said, "Well, I don't know." He said, "It was always a custom that the father names the child." I said, "No, that's not what I mean. Why are they making signs to Zechariah? He's dumb, but he's not deaf." You understand what I'm saying? The scripture says he could not speak till the baby was born. He was dumb. He could not speak, but he wasn't deaf. I mean, sometimes people, just because you can't articulate what God's saying to you does not mean that you're not hearing from him. It doesn't mean you got to write it on a tablet. I might be hearing God saying some big things out of the heavens, and I might not be able to articulate it to you. I might not be able to say it to you like I feel it in my bones, but give me a writing tablet. I might be able to write it. I might be able to sing it. I might be able to prophesy it, but just because I can't speak it out doesn't mean I'm not hearing it. And the scripture said, and they give him a writing tablet and said, "What are you going to call this miracle? What are you going to call this baby?" And Zechariah writes, "His name shall be called John." And when he says that, the name John means grace. We're going to call it grace from God, and we're not calling it anything except what God calls it. We're not calling it Zechariah Jr. It's not going to be Joseph Jr. We're not going to call her barren. We're going to call it what God calls it. How many know sometimes we profess over things and we pronounce cursings on those around us and we pronounce defeat on those around us when we need to start calling it what God calls it? You might not see the end from the beginning, but you start calling it blessed. You start calling it fruitful. You start calling it what God calls it and quit trying to name and put a label on it. One of our biggest hindrances in religion is we've tried to label it and put titles on it. It's our biggest hindrance in politics. It's our biggest hindrance in churches. It's our biggest hindrance in religion because we think if it doesn't come under this title or if that organization doesn't do it that we can't believe in it. Let me just tell you, we're going to call it what God calls it, and wherever it begins and wherever it goes, God is God, and he's big enough to do what he wants to do in a little village in Nazareth to a little virgin who did not know that she was chosen. But when God lays his hand on your life and you've been chosen and you've been anointed, you don't have to make it happen. You just got to start saluting everybody you come to and say, "I can't explain it. I don't know what's going on, but I've come to connect myself with somebody who's feeling something like I'm feeling." And when we begin to profess the salutation of the Lord, we will cause people's babies to come alive in the womb. We will cause that quickening spirit. We will cause life to be stirred up, and the power of the Holy Spirit is what will start to speak. The scripture says they came together and she was filled with the Holy Ghost from her mother's womb. Now, I love this because I've never shared a whole lot of this scripture, but I just want to share it with you this morning. And it's the next verse there, Lisa, where I left off. There we go. That's where I'm at. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Let me back up. You can stay where you are. But it says, "For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." Comma. "And Mary said, and my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations are going to call me blessed." They're going to call me what God calls it. They're going to call it what God calls it. All generations are going to call me blessed. "For he that is" what? "Mighty." He's a mighty God. "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength in his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats. He has exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. Empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months, returned to her own house. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how that the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her." Hallelujah. When Mary came together with Elizabeth, she began to prophesy, and she began to declare, the Magnificat is what it's called. Actually, in your Bible, may have an actual title there. And she began to say, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of this handmaiden, and from all generations they're going to call me blessed. For mighty is this God." And she began to prophesy and declare the word of the Lord in the house of Elizabeth. She began to prophesy and declare those things that were coming to pass. But in verse 59 it says, "And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zechariah after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, not so, he shall be called John. And they said unto her, there's none of thy kindred that's called by his name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all, and his mouth was open immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praise God. How many know when this priesthood began to declare the grace of God in this generation, his mouth was open and his tongue was loose, and he began to declare something that they'd not heard before. How many know we're not going back to the generations before? We're going ahead to the generations yet to come. And you know, we're not living under generational curses, and we're not living under family names. How many times have we been labeled and hindered by family names when God wants to cut those generational things? How many know there's some things from generations that needs to be cut off? Yeah. Yeah. Don't carry into the next generation what didn't work in the last one. If you need to make a change, make the change today. Carry some things into the next generation that's going to empower that generation to be all that God called them to be. You're not going to call it what it used to be. You're going to call it what God calls it and what God has ordained for this time. It said, "Fear came on all that dwelt around about them, and all these things were noised abroad throughout all the country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying." How many know we need some people who are speaking out of the Holy Ghost, out of what thus saith the Lord? "And he begins to prophesy, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. He's raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware unto our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. How many know John the Baptist wasn't raised in Israel? He was raised in the deserts. How many know David, I believe, heard most of his psalms out in the field keeping sheep? Not necessarily in the temple. Not necessarily in Israel. Not necessarily, because how many know when David goes up to check on the brothers, they're all talking fear. They're all talking defeat over the giant. But David steps in from a different viewpoint. He steps in from one who'd been in the wilderness keeping sheep and writing psalms like, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil." He was raised outside the camp, outside the city, until the day of his showing. What I love about this is both Mary and Zechariah begin to prophesy and begin to declare and speak those things which are spoken to them by the Holy Spirit. How many know the scripture says Zechariah is filled with the Holy Ghost? Mary is filled with, overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Ghost. How many know sometimes you just got to say so? And they begin to prophesy. And they begin to declare what God was doing. Say so, prophesy it, declare it, speak it, sing it. And find somebody who believe it with you. Surround yourself with somebody who can encourage you, who can speak life to you, who can declare the miracles, the hands of God, the scriptures, the word, that can encourage your heart, that can lift your spirits, that at the sound of their salutation, I love it when I come into contact with people and they begin to speak and something inside of me comes alive. It touches that part of me that needs to hear from God today, that touches something inside of me that needs to cause something to wake up in me. You ever heard a word that just causes you to just wake up inside? It just causes you to be alive. It causes you to be stirred. It causes you to know that God is up to something big, that God is on the move, that God is touching. He's moving. He's healing. He's demonstrating himself. And I don't care what circumstances around you look like. Elisha said to the servant, "Open his eyes so that he might see." Because what he saw was temporal. What we see is eternal. Lord, I want to see big things. I want to declare big things. I want to look farther than my temporary circumstances. I want to look to the heavens for what you're saying, what you're declaring, your favor, your word, your Emmanuel, your God with us, that causes something inside of me to come alive, to be stirred up, to not be satisfied for status quo, for the mundane, for the temporary, but it causes something inside of me to come alive. It causes me to focus on higher things than those things that I see temporary things. It's easy to get discouraged and drawn down in temporary visuals, things we see in the temporary, in visuals. Made her baby leap.
Connect with somebody that can be encouraging and all. You know, and I think for a new convert, the older Christian should look for somebody like that to pour into. You know, I can remember when I got saved. If it hadn't been for Jenny, I don't know if I could have made it through. But she would come to my house and we would have prayer time together. And the Holy Ghost would move and speak in our lives. And there would just be such a glory in the house. And I was thinking, you know, how it must have been. I would have liked to have been to that Holy Ghost party with Mary and Elizabeth. And I think, you know, if we as older, more mature Christians would pick out the younger or even the younger that are saved have been saved, they still need somebody to connect with. They still need to feel that Holy Ghost Spirit and that encouragement that says, all's well, you know. Yep. You're blessed of the Lord. You're going to make it. Everything's going to be okay. And I think if we would be encouragers instead of discouragers, how much more wonderful God would move in our midst and how much God would encourage us. Because when you encourage somebody else, you build up your own courage and you get stronger yourself. And I praise God for that time that I had, that when I was learning, you know, just learning to pray and to trust God and have her, she'd been saved for about a year before me, I think it was. But she was my encourager. She was my lifter of my head. She was my best friend and my sister, and you know, and she was all that I needed at that time. And my grandmother was an encourager. Raymond Rosenstiel was my encourager. But there was people in my life that I could glean from that made me who I am today.
Amen. And I love when we give honor where honor is due. Yes. And remember, yes, those moments, those encounters. A Mary or Elizabeth that comes to, even if she couldn't drive. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. My Aunt Jenny said, how are you going to be called to preach? You can't even drive. And 7 small kids at the time. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And man, what did not seem like it could come to pass, here we are. Here we are. You just got to have somebody that'll believe with you. Somebody that'll just stand with you. And even when you don't know what to say, just salute them in the Holy Ghost. Just let the power of the Spirit connect. Sometimes the greatest things you can do is just sit and pray with somebody. Just sit and hold their hand. Just be available. Be there. Connect. Connection is important. Amen? Connection is important. Somebody that's struggling. Somebody that needs connection. Seek them out. Find them. I love what Pastor Shirley said. We should be encouragers to those who are young in faith, are young in their experience. And in turn, let me just tell you, in turn, they'll be encouragers back to you. They'll be encouragers back to you because that's the faithfulness of God in our life. That's the faithfulness of God in our life. He is a mighty God. And I just determined to declare today and in this season, you're a mighty God. You are a mighty God. Stand to your feet with me this morning. You are a mighty God.